My guest on this episode of Hometown to Hollywood is Los Angeles-based vocal coach Claire Hosterman. Claire has studied vocal technique for over a dozen years in Seattle, New York, Paris, and Los Angeles. She teaches via Skype and in her studio in Burbank, California, and provides techniques for a healthy singing voice able to navigate all styles of singing, whether it's pop, rock, musical theater, R&B, jazz, or even opera. Claire works with a full range of singers, from people who've never sung before to singers that Hollywood agents and studios send to her for training. She also works with singers directly in recording studios, helping to fine-tune them between takes of a song to translate producers' visions to the vocal artists. Claire teaches students from all over the world, and her clients include performers in Broadway touring shows, actors on TV shows such as Modern Family, The Romanoffs, and on Nickelodeon and Disney, as well as just people who want to be able to sing better. Claire is also my oldest daughter. Claire, welcome to the podcast.
Hi!
This is so fun. I've wanted to do this for so long.
Me too. I can't believe we're doing this. So fun.
So, can you describe your approach to singing? There's a lot of different ways to teach singing, and I'm always curious about the differences between teachers and techniques.
Yeah.
What is yours?
Good question. So my technique is a combination of all of the techniques that I've learned around the world as I've studied in Seattle and Paris and New York and Los Angeles from a variety of different amazing teachers. A lot of them have, you know, worked with opera singers and people on Broadway and pop, and I've learned something each from them. And then along the way, I've also just discovered my own way of doing it. So it's a medley. It's a technique that I've never seen anyone do before quite like this. It has some very similar exercises that you might see with other teachers, and yet completely different ones. You're just like, what is this? So I've had people come to see me and they're like, okay, great. Yes, I've seen that. And then they're like, wait a minute. This is like weird. What are you doing? I'm using my face. Like weird stuff. So it's kind of new. So I use, yes, the familiar term of the mask, using your face to sing. But so here's how I teach. I teach using this idea that our face, our head is like this giant cave. It's like a cavern. And we are here, we bounce the sound off of our faces in order to make that sound. So a lot of people make the mistaken thought that, you know, I thought when I first started is, you know, you sing from your throat. But instead of that, it comes from, like, you know, your vocal cords are two little hairs and you don't want to put so much pressure on them, but your vocal cords make the little sound and then you bounce it off of your face. And there's so many points in the face. And where my technique's a little different is, you know, very similar, very common technique is to say, like, the mask, to bounce it off kind of your cheeks to make a really loud sound, which is what I definitely do, and I love it. And I also work on using the entire face and not just your mask, which is very huge and amazing and profound, and I love it because it means that there are infinite possibilities of using your face and infinite sounds. And my only rule is when you sing is that it should feel good. So if it hurts, it's wrong. If it feels good, it's right. And that's it. A lot of people are terrified of, like, hurting their voices all the time. They're like, you know, or I wanted to take her to you because she's young and I'm afraid she's going to screw her voice up. And it's like, you know, as long as you're not hurting yourself, as long as when you're done singing, you don't have a sore throat, you'll be fine. But, like, you know, singers like Adele, she's had at least 2 vocal surgeries. She's had, I think, just her 3rd one recently. You know, a lot of famous people, just because they're famous, doesn't mean they're doing it right. So it's important to have a technique to fall back on that you can use, you know, whether you're an actor or someone who just wants to sing or someone who needs to sing 8 shows a week. You need to reliably have something that you can sing for years, dependably. And that's where this technique comes in.
I love it. I love it. So you teach one-on-one lessons via Skype and in person. What do you do in those lessons?
Oh, well, in these lessons, they're the same as you would do, like, anywhere in the world. Basically, whether you're on Skype or whether you're next to me, we'll start off with like just talking about the week before, like, you know, how were your warm-ups, how, you know, I'll give them homework assignments, how did that go, and then we'll go into gentle warm-ups and exercises, and then so the first half hour I'll generally teach them technique and we'll do warm-ups and we'll just, you know, revise their technique and make sure that they're on, you know, a healthy track. And then after that, we'll do a song that they're working on, or two, and then we'll use that technique in the song, and every week we do this and it gets stronger and stronger. So that's what we'll work on. And sometimes, like, someone will have an audition the next day, so we'll either do no warm-up or a really quick one, but, you know, I'm always flexible. And, but it's always about using that technique that I teach.
So your lessons are about an hour?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, so the first half is kind of like warming up and working on exercises, and the second half is working on some song or two.
Yes, definitely, because I do an hour because a lot of people, they say, oh, my old voice teacher did, you know, 30 minutes, but I feel like an hour is the proper amount. It's like, it's a really good amount, because I think 30 minutes is just not enough to do a quick warm-up and then a song. It's like, you gotta get into it, and there's so much to learn, and an hour is what I do. I really believe in that, yeah.
Gives you enough time to cover what you want to cover.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Do you think that anyone can learn how to sing?
Yes.
Yes. Why do you laugh like that? You gonna tell a story?
Yes.
There's a story.
Do you want to tell a story?
We can tell the story together.
Okay.
How's that?
Really funny.
It's so funny.
So I'm 29. When I was 15, I was just starting out. We had a man come to our house who was an amazing voice teacher, and we let him use our house for lessons, and so he gave my sister free lessons, and I was always kind of shy and hanging around the corners and peering around corners, and one day he's like, come on, Claire, like, you wanna join us? I'm like, no, I don't know, and then I did, and then it turned out that I had a problem hitting notes, and so he was worried for, I think, the first year, and you were too, apparently, and, like, that I, like, was tone deaf or something, and I couldn't hit notes, and I didn't even know, like, you'd sing the note, like, ha, and it'd be like, so, yes.
So yeah, Mark, this is Mark Power, who was your first voice teacher, and actually, Chloe Doves, too, and he told me, he pulled me aside, and he said, did she have, like, a lot of ear infections when she was little, because she... It seems like she can't even actually hear some notes.
Yeah.
And I said, well, actually, she did. You had a ton of ear infections. You were like the queen of ear infections when you were a kid. And he's like, okay, well, you know what? We're just going to keep working on this, and she's going to be able to find a way to get around this. And you did. And the truth is, you know, it was about a year where, you know, you were not reliably hitting notes at all.
Yeah.
But you kept at it because it was fun. Yeah. And over the course of that first year, it was remarkable to watch you start to, like, get it. And then after that, it was like, oh my gosh, this voice that you had. It turned out you had this incredible dramatic soprano, and you could hit these extraordinary notes, and you became a serious singer. And it was literally transformational, and it really opened my eyes, because I remember thinking at the time, like, I guess I always just sort of thought there's people who can sing and there's people who can't.
Yeah.
But watching what happened with you taking lessons, it demonstrated for me that practically anybody can genuinely learn how to sing if they have some good technique.
Yeah, no, it's so true. That's why I always say that. I believe it with all my soul. I've never actually in my life met a tone deaf person. And of course they exist, but they're like, I hear people all the time. They're like, well, I'm tone deaf, you know, can you help me? Can you fix me? And most people I meet have an issue with pitch, but that's totally different than tone deaf. You know, if you're tone deaf, you're going to say, Mary had a little lamb, little lamb. But if you're like, Mary had a little lamb, that's different. You just need to find the pitch. And so something I learned is when you have issue with pitch, it's because you're not using your full face. And it's crazy. A lot of us are blocking the sound from traveling up into the face, into our resonance, up into the head, because we have to use our full face when singing. And if we're not, we're just going to be using the bottom part or the top or wherever. You need to use your full face so that you can go up into your full range of singing. And if you're, you have a closed face, maybe when you sing, you don't even know it, you're going to have pitch issues. Isn't that fascinating?
That is totally fascinating, and I did not know that. I do know there's like a tiny percentage of the population. What is it, like 3% or something? Maybe it's less.
Oh, it's like 0.03% who are tone deaf.
Yeah, it's like not even 1% that's actually tone deaf. So, you know, everybody out there who thinks they're tone deaf, probably you're not.
Really?
Probably if you wanted to and you put in the time, you could learn how to sing decently.
Yeah, everyone I've worked with pitch issues through time has gotten better, and it's literally just a science.
That is so fascinating. Yeah, I think of you as literally like the poster child for the fact that anybody who wants to really can learn how to sing. And the fact is, like, in you in particular, like, you have an amazing voice now. You really do. You have a gorgeous, huge, beautiful soprano. And it was so fun to discover that you were hiding that.
No, I believe that. And I see it as people as, like, it's like this beautiful flower that's inside them, this beautiful rose that's waiting to be uncovered. Mm-hmm. And then, and so much of it is just the brain and the stories we tell ourselves. And once we kind of heal the brain or, like, fix the brain or whatever, it's like, then the voice comes. So much of it is just in the mind. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of spiritual work we do in singing, too. It's very, it's not just singing. It's lots of limiting beliefs, and it's just, it's healing on many different levels. And everyone I've worked with, it's not just like, oh, my voice is getting amazing. It's like, I'm changing as a person. And it's amazing.
I'm so happy you brought that up, because I think a lot of the time about the metaphor that we use about, you know, finding your voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we find our voice, you know, well, what does that mean?
So much. Because I feel that if you have a blocked sense of self, you are going to have a blocked voice. And also blocked maybe pitch issues. That's not at all the time at all. But I find that. And when someone learns to find themselves through singing or through whatever they're doing, their voice improves dramatically. Yeah.
It's a metaphor for a reason. It's really powerful.
Yeah, and like when we work together, there's just often deep healing that happens that it's crazy. The deep healing majorly coincides with their deep success as a singer too. It's really important and cool that I feel like if you're with the right teacher, you have that and not just the surface getting better at singing. I feel like you have to have both. It's crazy. The transformation happens on so many levels.
I'm so glad that that came up, because I really have seen that over and over with people who've worked with you especially.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's like this kind of unexpected side benefit.
Yeah.
You know, that people don't typically expect to see coming, whatever, but you know, how wonderful is that?
Yeah, well, it's like, it's also how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so the way you approach singing is the way you approach your life and your bank account and your relationship with your spouse or whatever. It's all connected. So when you, it's amazing. So when you start healing all these areas, it's all interconnected.
That's so cool. Yeah. Are there any differences in lessons that you teach in person versus Skype? Is it qualitatively any different?
It's pretty much, it's all the same, except the only difference is like the touch factor. Like, I can't adjust you physically, but that's it. Like, you know, as long as you have good internet, it's really the same. I work with people who work with me in person, and then they have to go home to somewhere else in the country because they're here often as actors for pilot season, and they're gone. So we're either in my studio or in Skype, and they're like, oh, hey you. Saw you just last week in your studio. Feels like we're back together. It feels very homey. So it's really the same. I teach people on several different continents all around the world. Australia, Europe, China, I mean, everywhere. I'm waiting for Antarctica. Like, it's everywhere. As long as you have good reception, it's like, hey, I feel like we're BFFs. I have so many. So, yeah, it's the same.
And some people you've never met, and some people you totally have. You started in person, and then, as you said, they went home or whatever.
That's it. And it's like you develop deep, real relationships. And some of these are like, you know, little 6-year-old kids on Skype, and some of these are like, you know, I had an 80-year-old woman who had never had a lesson, and she was so excited. Like, it was so beautiful.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What are some differences between techniques that you might use in different genres? Like, you know, musical theater versus pop. Are there any differences?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There are. Musical theater and pop, you definitely need a really good mixed voice. So I'm not sure if you've heard of the chest voice, middle voice, head voice. But like if you've ever noticed someone singing a song, most people are really good with their chest and their head. Like, let the storm rage on, where it feels like you're really powerful and all of a sudden it's really airy. But there's no like mixed voice.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just to kind of illustrate, so she, yeah. The first part of that phrase was chest voice and then she jumped up to head voice. And then she filled it in with the mix, and the mix is so powerful.
It's really powerful. And that part of your face, which is the mask, it's, I wish you could see my face, but it's basically like, you know, your cheekbones, it's 600 times more powerful than using your throat. And I don't know where we got that number, but it's just a well-known number.
Interesting.
Yeah, so like babies can cry for hours and they don't get tired because they use that part of their face. And so they're bouncing that off. So we definitely want to use that part of our face. That's your mixed voice. It's a mixture between, hey, how's it going? That kind of shouty chest and woo! Because you can't have just shouting and then up here. You need that middle voice. Isn't that cool?
This is a good medium for this kind of interview.
Yeah, right?
Audio. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
I love it. That's cool. Okay, so you want a mixed voice for musical theater and pop.
Right, so that's at least the common ground, but with musical theater, you have more of a twang mixed voice. So if I was like, I'm singing musical theater, it sounds a little nasally, I'm really pushing it forward into my mask, or your middle voice, it's kind of a little, sometimes a little annoying because it has to travel because it's in that part of your face that's 600 times more powerful. You're really using it. And it sometimes sounds like a dying cat, but it gets the job done because it's really loud and annoying. So it's in there. And then of course you're over enunciating everything. So there's that sound quality of really overdoing it.
Because you're telling a story with your songs in musical theater and people
that's
need
it.
To hear the words.
That's it. And of course, since you're telling a story, you're not just singing, you have to also pause. Maybe for a second, I'll just talk for a second, and then I'm back. But it's like, yeah, so there's that storytelling quality. And then with pop, you're using that middle voice as well. However, you're using it in a different way. There's this thing called the singer language, and it's really cool. You have to use it basically the way we speak in English, just like, hey, how's it going? It's not conducive to singing. So if I'm like, hey, you feel that? So if you're hearing me right now, try this. If you go, hey guys, how's it going? You feel it kind of going backwards in your throat. It's a very like, hey, but we have to create this language where it's the same, where it's conductive with the technique we're using. So like Ariana Grande, if we're using the technique, no, 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 that's like very forward. No, 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 no. She's using that middle voice, but if I go, I should be wiser and realize what I got, that's like going back in my throat. But if I go, I should be wiser and realize what I got, I'm using a language where it sounds weird when I speak it, but then when I sing it, I should be wiser and realize what I got.
That sounds a lot better than the first time you sounded.
Right?
The first time you sang it, it sounded like you were like tearing up your throat the last few notes.
Right?
It sounded like it hurt.
Well, and also, even if I didn't hurt, like, I should be wiser and realize what I got. I mean, that still hurts, but it's like, I should be wiser. It sounds weird. Then. I should be wiser.
Interesting.
I should be wiser. So it's almost a language you have to have for musical theater and this. So that's just a language of how you say the words, too. And people are like, oh, that's pop. That doesn't sound like pop. But if I kind of... There's so many different languages, but one is the I should be wiser. It's almost a mumbling. So that's why you hear a lot of pop artists not enunciating, but mumbling more. So it's forward in the face, like you're using your mask as well, but it's a different way of using it.
That's so interesting.
Isn't it cool? And then, like, I could just talk about it forever. But
I can totally tell. I can totally tell. This will be a 5-hour podcast.
I know.
We may have to have Claire back.
I'll come back.
Well, so, all right. This is really cool. So why is it important for actors to have a voice teacher or learn how to sing? I mean, why does it matter? And if it is, you know, what genre do actors need to learn, especially if they want to, you know, do
right.
something professionally?
Well, it's super important just because these days you just have to be able to have so many tricks. You have to be really versatile And these days, they're making a lot of musicals. It's just really important. A lot of the times, you are against one other person. You're equally as talented. You look the same. And then that person maybe can sing a little better than you. They'll get the part. So it's super important. And especially if you want to be on Disney or just, I don't know, have more offers. Can you sing? Okay, I want to use you for more projects. You just have to.
It makes sense. I mean, because you are your own product as an actor, right. You know, the more versatile you are, the more successful you're going to be. My experience echoes that. I've just seen so many times where it's like the most important thing, obviously, is that you're a good actor. You know, far and away, you must be a good actor. But then after that's like a given, which it just is at a certain level, then, you know, when they ask inevitably, can you sing if you're in an audition? You know, you don't have to be the world's best singer, but you should be able to say, yeah, I can sing. And mean like I can reliably hit notes. You know, you might not be hired to be a singer per se, mm-hmm. but if you're the actor that they want and you're everything that they want in every other regard and you can hit notes, your odds of getting the role are so much higher. Yeah. Whereas if you're standing there and you have to be honest, you're like, I really can't sing. It's like, you're out of the running.
Yeah.
You just have to be good enough to keep going through the door.
That's right. Well, and let's say they make this amazing movie that's like the movie of your dreams. Maybe they're making like a Marilyn Monroe biography and she's singing something. I mean, maybe not her, but like someone else. It's like, what if that was your dream role? And if only you had taken lessons the year before. It's like, you know, no.
Yeah. And again, you don't have to be like the world's best. You just have to be good enough. And frankly, yeah. It's the same thing with dance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't have to be a proper triple threat, equally top notch at all those things, but you should be like adequate.
Yeah.
You should be able to do basic stuff.
That's all they're expecting from you. And if you can get even better than that, that's great.
Yeah. And that's fun. And that's nice as a human, like to have that achievement, but it's not necessary that you be Ariana Grande.
No.
You know, it's just necessary that you can feel confident, like, yeah, I can hit notes. Look, give me a crack at it.
Yeah,
know?
It'll give you a way more competitive edge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so speaking of, it's super important that you have pop. So yes, it's important, number one, that you have a really good repertoire. So like here, you want to make sure that you're never stuck with, oh, I have an audition the next day, we have to sing. Oh, crap, what do I sing? It's like, no. You've been working for months or even a year or two with your teacher on perfecting your repertoire, your portfolio of songs. It's like, oh, you want this? Okay, got it. Which one do you want? So you at least need two pop songs. So one, you know, upbeat, light, could be bubblegummy, just kind of upbeat, and one strong, slow ballad. So they're like contrasting pop songs, because these days pop is just, you know, it's everything. And if you're like, well, I don't like pop songs, you know, that's too bad. you can be bitter about it or like, I don't like it, but that's okay. You still have to have pop, so...
Just two.
That's all right. And then, of course, yeah, I have a musical theater song, too, and maybe a country song. But pop, definitely two mm-hmm. pop songs. So, yeah, pop is really important.
It's like having a couple of different monologues that you're ready to, you know, whip out on a day's notice. Like, you don't want to be, you know, suddenly getting an audition and suddenly be like, oh, my gosh, I have to find and then memorize a monologue. It's like if you're remotely serious about acting... You want to have a little portfolio of stuff that's basically ready to go, and songs are the same.
Yeah.
I love it. That makes so much sense. What are some of the most common misconceptions about when people first start taking singing lessons?
Gosh.
Where do you start?
It makes me so mad sometimes, not in like at them, but just that a lot of people think that when they start that they should have the result in a few weeks.
Mm.
And yes, like it's just not true. And so like that puts so much pressure on themselves and it's just like, it's just not fun. And so a lot of people, they come and they're like, all right, can you have me ready for American Idol in a month and a half? And they've never had a lesson before. And it's like, well, you know, look at a ballerina, you know, if you, or your gymnastics class, like, or a ice skating class.
It's your first musical instrument.
That's it. It's your first ice skating class, and you want to be able to do a triple axel in 5 weeks. It's like, that just doesn't happen. It happens through often years of training and dedication. And yes, through today's day and age, we often want to get things now. There's that mentality a lot. But also, it's just, I think with singing, there's this thought of, well, either I have it or I don't. And that makes me sad and mad for them because it's painful. Because it's like when I first started, I didn't technically have a beautiful voice. My sister kind of did. Like, she still had to work a lot at it, but she kind of started out with one and I didn't. And it's like if someone had told me, like, oh, you don't have it, like, that would have broken my heart and I would have never gone for it. So it's like they think, oh, well, I can't. So if I don't, if I'm not getting it now, or it's been three lessons, I'm not getting it, I guess I don't have it. And it's like, no, you do. It's just like, you got to put in the time and the work like with anything else. And it often takes 6 months or a year to even begin to kind of grasp the technique. So it's like, if you spend the first 6 months kind of just like, you know, what am I doing? I don't get it. I kind of get it. Ah, that's so normal. That's so normal. So it's like, it just doesn't happen like that. It's like trying to become a ballerina at the symphony within 6 months.
Yeah, or like any other thing you can even think of.
Yeah.
You know, where you know, time and energy and practice.
Yes.
Are required.
Yes, and a lot of people I've met, surprisingly, they'll go to lessons and they're enthusiastic and great, but then they don't practice. And it's like, I'm not seeing results. It's like, well, okay, well, how's your practicing? They're like, well, I'm not practicing. And it's like, you know, what? Why?
So basically they're singing an hour a week and expecting to see a result.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not just because of that mental, you need to build that muscle and whatever. There's that. The mental muscle, the physical muscle is kind of a myth. Like, you're not actually building a muscle in your throat. It's like learning how to aim the sound in pockets of your face. And that's like through learning through time of doing that. But it's also like, you have to incorporate the tools that your teacher is giving you. Cause I'm showing you stuff in lessons, but then it's like, whoa, what is all this? Okay. I kind of get it. But then you have to go home every day and practice it in your room and make these weird sounds and get it in your body. And that takes time. And they sound so easy, but it takes, you know, I'm still learning these techniques and it's been 15 years almost. And it's like, these are like beautiful pillars we work on each time. It's not just like, got it, you know, it's like, yes, yes, you will see results. Some of the times you will see results really fast. And then others, just like anything, no matter how smart you are and how much time you put in, it will always just take time like anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like expecting to, you know, get on a sports team of some kind, never, never, never have practice, and then just go straight to the games. It's like, yeah. That's just not going to work out real well.
Yeah.
So the practicing is really important. Well, so what kind of homework do you give people to encourage them to practice, to give them something to practice with?
Like, let's see, I'll have them, like, record our lessons. So it's really important that you record them. Any teacher you have should let you record, because that's just like, you know, you're paying for the lessons. You need to be able to record it. So that my sister and I did that. We had our amazing teacher, Mark Power, and then once a week we'd see him. And then the rest of those 6 days a week, we would press play on the record button and we would sing every day for at least an hour.
So it's sort of like having that lesson every day that week.
Every day.
Because you can, like, have the lesson again in your own house
that's
or in your
it.
Car.
And then every time you hear it, you hear that the teacher say something differently that lands in a different way. It's like, oh, cool. And so you do it along with them, and then you learn more of that technique and you get it in your body more. Because, like, in your head, the thing is, your brain's going to understand it way faster than your body. So you might be like in class, oh, got it. Now next, why aren't we moving on? I got it.
Why are we still doing this?
Because I understand it mentally, but it's like your body often doesn't, and it takes the body often, you know, at least three times longer to get it.
There's a gap. I actually studied with Mark too.
Yeah.
I in my former life also took voice lessons and did a little stuff with that, and it was eye opening because it to me, I think a good analogy is it's like learning a second language.
Yeah.
It's pretty normal, and anyone who's tried to learn a second language can totally attest to this. You understand a lot of the words for that second language much faster than you are able to then spit them out and use them.
Yeah.
There's a gap between your comprehension, which comes first, and then your ability to actually do it, the thing, use what you understand, like, in reality. And I think it's similar with singing, and probably with learning a lot of other things too. So it's like, you know, yeah, I get it. I get what you're asking me to do, but the body, it just takes longer, and it just takes practice.
Yeah. And it's funny. I mean, I love my students, all of them so much, and I've had some of them and they get so frustrated and I feel so bad, like, where it's like, they're trying. I'm like, you know, here we're trying to have them learn how to put it in their face, which is such a weird concept, using their face to sing. Like, it's weird. Like, it took me like 6 months or 9 months to even grasp that idea. And, you know, it's like maybe a month of lessons. They're like, you know, I'm not getting it. And it's like, that's because you're, it just takes time. It's like every lesson, if it feels like chop wood, carry water, I'm planting the seeds, that's enough. If you feel like you're making 1% progress each lesson, that's actually really normal. A lot of people have the conception of like, I should have an amazing lesson. And maybe you have a breakthrough once in a while, but most of the time it's just every day the grind of, all right, let's try this again. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, sometimes I'm frustrated. Oh, and then maybe once in a while you'll have a breakthrough. But it's not like breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. No. That's not how it works.
So the breakthroughs are exciting when they happen. It's like, oh my gosh, I just made a sound I've never made before.
Oh my God.
It's so
cool.
Those
are my favorite moments.
Oh, it's like magic.
Yes, and they realize the power that was inside them the whole time, which is there. But the thing is, in this day and age, there's almost this almost lazy mentality that, you know, I sometimes fall into too. It's like, oh, it's like, why don't I have it now? It's like, well, that's just not how it works.
No, no, you have it when you have it. And you know, luckily there are enough breakthroughs for a lot of people to, you know, help give them faith that it's worth, that it's worth doing. Because it's like, oh my gosh, I'm in this new place now. I can make this new sound. And oh my gosh, I'm hitting these new notes, and there's a new quality to my voice, and it's easier, and
it's amazing. And just, and like, just because you've maybe had 6 lessons or 10 and you're not seeing anything doesn't mean that there's nothing happening beneath the surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's winter maybe, but stuff's going on underneath the ground. And it's like, I've had people where it's like, they hang on, they hold out hope, and then they see that result. I mean, often every few lessons they have amazing results and stuff, but even if you don't, that doesn't mean nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a mentality I think we used to have before this day and age of like, you know, but it's amazing.
Well, I think it's probably endemic in the culture right now because of so many things that we can get literally instantly now, you know, the magical box in our pocket that can get us, tell us anything. It's astonishing. I think it's easy to forget that there are just some things that require putting in the time, and anyone who's put in time as a dancer knows that. Like, that's another good example of like, you know, yeah, you know what, you just need to keep showing up, and the results do come.
That's it.
They totally do, and they're totally worth it. But you need, there's a certain element of faith, and then that, I think, to me goes back to, you know, the conversation we were having near the beginning, which is like, there's more to it than just straight mechanics.
Yeah. Oh, so much more to it. And yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk about this. It's obvious looking at your Instagram that you teach a lot of kids.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
like a lot of kids, and the kids love you.
Yeah.
But the fact is you actually teach a ton of teenagers and young adults too, some of whom are like actual professionals.
Oh, it's amazing.
So, right?
Yeah. It's really cool.
You wouldn't necessarily kind of totally get that from your Instagram, but I know that you teach a lot of older, older, not like, you know, okay, you got an 80-year-old too, maybe, but you know, like young adults and teenagers.
Yeah. Well, sometimes like I won't post their photo because I want to respect their privacy. That's the thing.
I was wondering about
that's
that.
That's the thing. It's like, I work with I'll post tons of photos of little kids just because I love them and it's fun and cute, but a lot of the real professionals I work with, we don't post photos when we work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this misconception that, like, you know, I work with kids.
You're the child whisperer.
Yeah, and actually, it's funny. And I love kids so much. I adore them. And, you know, these techniques can be, you know, they're really important for everyone to learn. And the earlier you start, the better. And they can be really challenging because it takes, you know, time. And also, there's lots of, you know, they're challenging. And so the young adults and the adults I work with, they can grasp these concepts a lot more. And it's
like faster, probably.
Yeah, and it's really fun. It's really fun. So, I work with tons of adults and young adults. And, yeah, I should post more so that there's not that misconception anymore. I just realized that because people say, oh, you're the kid person. You know, I wish I could work with you, but you're with kids. I'm like, wait, what? So,
you're going to go on the record and say you don't only teach children.
Oh, my gosh, not at all. Not at all. Love kids, but no, not at all.
All right. So yeah. Teenagers and adults are welcome to work with you.
Actually, just as much, if not more. I just have been posting pictures of kids, which is funny.
Well, it's, you know, I think the kids love to have their pictures up on Instagram.
I think that's why.
Part of it. Yeah. That's funny. What would you suggest to someone who wants to begin starting singing lessons, but they're afraid or nervous? And I mean, I ask this because I mean, I just know from personal experience, there's a lot of people out there who might secretly want to maybe try some voice lessons, yeah. but they're so scared, because yeah. the truth is, it's an incredibly vulnerable thing,
yeah.
really vulnerable to yeah. sing. What would you suggest to those people?
Wow, I remember that, and I'm still sometimes scared to sing, so that's, like, very normal if you feel that way. I know so many amazing singers. I know a lot of successful singers that you probably all know who, like, want to throw up before they go on stage every time, and you don't even know that. You're like, oh, they're so confident. It's like, that's not good or bad. It's just nerves, you know? A lot of famous singers still do that. There's that thing of, you know, just wonder, you know, would you rather go through your whole life maybe at the end of it, no, you know, had that coulda, woulda, shoulda feeling of, like, regretting what you didn't do. Like, oh, if only I had done this and I wasn't as scared. There's that beautiful Anne Lamott poem you have on your fridge of, like, you know, I don't want to look back and when I'm 70 and you know, wish that I had done this and that. So, like, it's worse. It's so much worse when you're standing on the sidelines and just anticipating the fear. But when you just jump in, it's actually never as bad as you think. And so just to bite the bullet and have a lesson. I've taught so many people who are terrified when they first start. I even had someone who threw up.
Are you kidding?
No. He, like, ran to the bathroom.
Oh, my God. We're laughing, but we are our hearts.
No. Like, I, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Human beings. We're so vulnerable.
Yeah. I've had moments where I wanted to throw up. Like, aww. Yeah, like, you know, it's scary. Like, so this is totally me, too. And
oh,
so,
my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah,
you were. You were. Oh, you were. Like, it took you, like,
terrified.
Months to get out of the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I still sometimes have those moments. And so it's like, you know, don't let that stop you. So it's like, just because you're feeling that fear, there's also a fine line between fear and excitement. Mm. And so just to notice, ooh, maybe I'm afraid, but also, am I excited? Maybe I'm actually really excited at the same time. So it's like, you know, if you trust that teacher, just to go for it and to maybe just start taking little steps, seeing around the house, but I just say go for it. Maybe you take small steps posting something, but I honestly think you should just go for it.
I love that. You know, I think one of, and I realize, you know, it'd be easy for people listening to this to say, well, of course you think that, you're her mom.
Right.
I'm also the podcast interviewer. But the truth is, you know, I've been able to witness you at close range for a long time. And I think truly one of your gifts as a human, as well as, you know, an extraordinary teacher, is that you have this gift for making people feel safe around you. You really do. It's like a superpower you have. And when people are around you, you create a space for them to be in and step into where they feel safe and they feel like they can take those scary risks because they know they're safe with you. And it's really beautiful. I think it's part of why you get the incredible results you get, aside from the fact that your technique is amazing. And it's a big deal because I know personally also that some of the people you've studied with, I've a lot of voice teachers out there, they're not like that.
Mm-mm.
They're mean.
Yeah.
Some of them are mean.
I had one voice teacher.
And judgy and scary.
I've had some amazing voice teachers who made me love singing. I've had others, one in particular, who, you know, she studied at Yale and she had all her credentials. Like, you know, she studied at an Ivy League school and she did all the things she was supposed to. She got her PhD and her doctorate. And yet she terrified me. She didn't hold that sacred space. She actually made me feel guilty. I've heard a lot of people who come to me, they're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, thank God we're here right now because my old teacher used to yell at me or be like, you know, no, you're not hitting that note right. So if you maybe sometimes, like, if you've taken one lesson or even two with two different teachers and you didn't like it, maybe it might have been the teacher too. And I hate to say that because, you know, they're doing the best they can. We're all doing the best we can. And yet, don't blame your experience on you. It might have actually been the teacher because the teacher holds that frame of how you will perceive your experience. And so you need someone you feel so sacredly safe with, because singing is not just like, oh, I need to feel safe. You really need to feel safe to let that inner, it's almost like your body's a little inner animal, to let that inner animal out. Otherwise, you will not. And I've had people come in and they're terrified and it's like they need to vent for 10 minutes and maybe we'll do that. And then they feel safe with me. We do it, but to feel safe is the most important thing. So if you don't want to and you've already tried a teacher, I suggest trying another one. And then another. Don't give up, because it just might have been that experience with that teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really big deal. It's really vulnerable. And the flip side of that is, you know, it's also really exhilarating and amazing and beautiful.
Yeah.
When you're able to step into that space and start to hear your own voice.
Oh my God. Like, my experience with that and my experience with all my students and people I've seen and worked with, it's like, I've seen people who've started out terrified, like, yeah, wanted to throw up before lessons, and then they just bloomed into these confident, that's the thing, people sign up with me because they want more confidence too. It of course their voice transforms and they sound amazing, but then their confidence transforms and they are just like, they're like, I've never been this way in my entire life.
I've seen that. I've seen that a lot with your students, and it's fascinating to me. Yeah. Like, that is another, like, that's an amazing side benefit.
There's that, yeah, it's like that deep healing we were talking about.
Uh-huh. Oh, so cool. Yeah. Hey, what advice do you have for actors approaching a vocal audition?
Well, definitely, like, remember your repertoire we talked about, getting your two pop songs and the two contrasting pop songs and then, like, one musical theater and maybe one country. So have that, prepare that with your teacher for a period of time. Like, have them all ready and polished so that in case somebody just, like, sees you, you have an audition today, you're like, got it. And so not just that you say, got it, but you feel at ease in your body, because you are probably going to get nervous, especially if the audition matters to you. And when you get nervous, we often forget our technique. And you want it to be so in your body that you can even, it's past that level. It's like the Freudian id level, where it's unconscious, where it's like, you can be, I can throw a grapefruit at you and go, think fast, boom. And you're like, ah!
Immovable.
So it needs to be in your body. Yeah. And of course, like, get tons of sleep, drink tons of water, you know, eat whole foods, because your body is a physiological being and you're not immune to all that. Whatever, you know, the way you slept, what you ate, the environment, whether you cried the night before, it's all going to affect. So taking care of your mental well-being, it's all super important. It's super obvious, but it's all intrinsically tied to singing. So
I love that.
Your mental health, too, because if you're going through stuff and you want to cry, it's going to really affect your singing. So.
Yeah. I can't sing and cry at the same time.
No.
My throat closes up.
Thing. It's really important. Please don't ever, if you're trying to make a song emotional, don't try and cry during the song and actually cry and manifest those tears. We often think that. I used to do that for years, and my teacher would be like, don't do it, because it's going to constrict your throat. You want to learn how to express emotion in a way where, yes, you feel like you're alive and you're tied to the song emotionally, but it's like a learned pantomime emotion. Not pantomime, but it's like,
You're not actually crying.
You're not actually crying, but it gives the impression of the cry. So that's very important, too. So it's important that you don't
sing crying with the song. Throw your technique out the window.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that you work with some charter schools as a vendor. How does that work?
It's really fun. If you have a charter school and you don't work with me yet, you can just ask them to, you know, work with me or with someone. You have your charter school reach out to the potential teacher and they say, hey, do you want to be a vendor with us? And then the teacher fills out all this paperwork and they have a live scan and then they're approved. And then you submit like a purchase order for them. So like you say, I'd like X many lessons with this teacher, and then your school will approve it. And then you schedule the lessons with the teacher. And so, if you have a charter school, that means that you have an allotted amount of money, funds per year to use it on like the arts. And so horseback riding or painting or whatever. And so, you know, families who want to do that, it'll save them tons of money and it's really cool.
That's super cool.
Really cool. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you offer package deals for people? Because I mean, look, let's be honest, voice lessons. I mean, even how long ago were you guys starting to take voice lessons? I mean, 15 years ago,
yeah.
15 years ago. And it was a chunk of change.
It was. That's
not cheap. Even like, I mean, your rates are better than, frankly, almost anybody else's in LA, but it's still not cheap.
It's not. It's actually, for most lessons in LA, it's like at least kind of like $120 an hour or something. Like, yeah. It's an investment. That's the thing. It's like, you got to be serious if you're going to invest. But so for packages, you know, and I'm always, you know, adjusting my rates and stuff. But like for packages with me, you know...
You can buy a month's worth of lessons for a discount.
For a discount, basically. Or you can buy, like, yeah, like, a month's worth, like, so 4 lessons in a month with a discount. Or 8 lessons in a month with a discount. Or sometimes people say, hey, and they'll strike, like, a deal with me where they have, like, you know, 3 or 4 lessons a week with a discount. So some people are, you know, they're every day coming to me and, you know, we have a major discount with them. But it's...
Most people will take like a once a week lesson.
Yeah, that's actually the favorite. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but if you're like working on something with really high stakes, maybe more than that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. Like for projects for actors especially. And also like, you know, for some teachers, like I do this, you can split lessons with a friend. You can bring people into the lesson and have a friend take a lesson with you and you split the cost, or 3 people. It's really cute. And
that's
like
cool.
They're hugging and high-fiving each other and being like, "Good job." And we're all like, "Yay!"
So it's like a little mini class with more than one participant.
Yeah. And like maybe siblings will take the lessons together, but it's like, you know, you can have at least with me as many people in the room as possible, so, you know,
there's probably a limit.
Well, yeah, there's a limit, because otherwise you don't get that much time with the teacher, but it's fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, thinking about singers, you know, because there's some people out there who are like, yeah, okay, acting, whatever, but I really just want to be a singer. What should a singer have prepared just in case they meet a producer or somebody and they're asked on the spot to sing something? Like, this is not an everyday occurrence.
Yes.
But especially in LA.
Yeah.
That can happen. So what would somebody who like is thinking they want to be a singer really, what should they have prepared to just be able to sing whenever?
Right. That's a really good question. Basically I learned this from my sister. She basically, when you get to the level, or just because a lot of singers I hear, they're like, well, you know, when I meet that producer on the street, it's like that often doesn't happen.
Let's be honest, it doesn't happen very often.
It
like does. That.
That's like in the movies where it's like, hi, Mr. Producer, give me a second and I'll sing for you. And then he's like, it almost never ever happens.
Hey, kid. Giving me my hamburger?
Yeah.
You've been discovered.
Yeah, it's like, that almost never ever ever happens.
It's
however,
it's more like you meet somebody at a dinner party and they're like, you know what, let's take a meeting next week and suddenly, like,
that's it.
Yeah.
So you want to be prepared. You want to, and sometimes you will. I've heard stories where it's like that producer is there, and he or she has a limited amount of time. They're like, "All right, sure, sing right
Knock
now."
Knock out a couple of bars
right now.
For me.
Yeah. So you want to be so trained with your voice. Number one, you want to be singing every day with your technique. You don't want to be like out of shape and be like, "Oh, you know, my voice isn't good right now. Oh, I'm so out of shape. Can I sing later?" So you want to be able to be like, "Yep, I can do that." You want to have your songs ready, of course, but at the same time, there's this thing that I didn't know is the producer will say, yeah, okay, I like your voice, so who are your top 5 artist influencers?
Ooh.
Yeah, give me a sense of who are you, because you might have the most amazing voice they've ever heard. However, if your style is the same as Ariana Grande, they're going to be like, oh, I really love you, you're super talented and amazing, but I already have one of you. So you have to be like, they're going to say, what's your sound? And so you have to name on the spot without even pausing. Otherwise, you're going to look super unprofessional, your top 5 artist influencers. So it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm a mix of, you know, little Melanie Martinez with some Ariana Grande, Christina Aguilera, maybe Britney Spears circa 2002. I mean, you know, the weird medley.
Yeah.
But basically, these are your top, the people who kind of influence your sound. And you would describe basically how your sound is and the way that you would write the songs and stuff like that, so that they get a sense of your taste, your flavor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually,
yeah.
What it sounds like to me, if I could translate that, is that it's like, it's part of how you would pitch yourself.
That's it.
To a potential producer or somebody. I mean, the truth is, in any business at all, and, you know, people forget this because it's just so darn fun to act and sing, but, you know, in the real world, acting and singing is business.
Yeah.
And in any other business, you need to be able to have what's essentially called like an elevator speech, or like, you know, a quick 30-second description of who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
And what makes you different.
That's it.
And that's what you're talking about.
That's it. And you need to have it without hesitation on the spot. Because if you're pausing and going, well, I mean, I think, I mean, I'm kind of working on this. I mean, what do you think? I mean, they're just going to write you off. And that's a tragic, because they need to see you. So you need just to be able to say it without even thinking.
I love that. You know, I've never thought about that before, but it makes so much sense.
Well, Chloe was talking about that Dove, and, like, she was just like, you know, all right, we got to think, what's my sound? And it was really exciting, because it's like, you know, she had never thought about it before. And then once she had it, it actually gave her greater clarity on who she is as an artist in that moment of, like, actually, yeah, this is kind of who I am. This is what I want my sound quality to look like.
Was that when she was having all the meetings with the different record labels?
Yeah, and the record labels wanted her to know, like, you know, so what's your image, basically? Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people think, oh, Hollywood image, that's so vain. But it's like, you need to have an image, and it's actually kind of fun and creative. It doesn't have to be about changing yourself. It's about diving deep inside of you and going, oh, this actually is who I am. This is my image, and there only really is one of you. So if you really nail that, you're actually probably going to be fine, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. I just want to circle back and just say, when you were saying a minute ago, like, that you basically need to be singing every day. It's really true. Yeah. I mean, part of how anybody becomes world class at what they do, whatever that is, whether it's being a writer or a dancer or an athlete or a singer, whatever, is by just doing it every day. And you know, maybe you never will fill stadiums of people coming to pay money to hear you sing. Maybe you will.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want singing to be part of your life and you want to feel happy and confident when you're doing it in front of other people, whether that's just like on your local community theater stage or, you know, in an audition room in an exciting office in Los Angeles, you just need to be singing every day. And I know for a fact, through, you know, living with you guys, that you both do sing every day, and that's part of why you've gotten so good.
Well, that's the thing. It's like your plies as a dancer every day. You don't just, like, if you want to be a bodybuilder, do you go to the gym once a week? It's like, that's the thing. That's the way I view people when they first start out. It's like, well, do you see it? Do I have it? Or parents will take me aside after their kid has had a first lesson. They're like, well, do they have it? Or are they a goner? And it's like, oh my gosh. Like, oh my gosh.
It's not like that.
It's not like that. It's like, literally, it doesn't matter. Sometimes you're born with a natural talent. Sometimes you're not. That literally doesn't matter. I don't care if you have a natural talent or not. It's just pure science. If you do the work, you will get the results.
And actually, you two are just the best example of that truth.
Complete. I mean, Chloe was born with more of a natural talent, but still she had to work her butt off, and she still does. So it's like, you get what you put in. And a lot of people expect the teacher to kind of magically do the work for them, like bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, hand me... Like, the teacher hands you
my new voice.
Please, give me the secret. And it's literally, Ursula, the voice. I was going to be Ursula for Halloween almost. Be like, mwahaha. That would have been so funny.
Next year
with the shell. Like, taking your voice. But, like, so funny. But, yeah, no, like, the role of the teacher is, like, really 10%. Like, when your work as with the teacher is 10% of your knowledge and your gain. The 90% is all you practicing by yourself. And that's a common misconception, is that I will grow only from voice lessons in the classroom. It's actually 90% you by yourself. So the teacher hands you the tools, and you have to do the work and get to work with those tools.
With the tools.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. Any final thoughts?
Oh, it's so hard. This is so fun.
Like,
I want it to last forever. It's so fun.
This happens. There's something magical about this podcast. I think it's really fun to sit, you know, on my couch. And not always, but generally. And just think about, you know, what it is that you do and what you love about it. It's like people don't give themselves that. It's got a kind of a gift to it.
It is.
It is fun.
It's really fun. Let me think. Well, you are free to email me your thoughts, questions, or anything to my email, Claire, Claire, @ClaireHostermanVoice.com. That's H-O-S, as in Sam, T-E-R-M-A-N. My website is ClaireHostermanVoice.com, and my Instagram is Claire_Hosterman, and you can email me with any questions. It's like, hey, you know, I'm scared to sing, or what do you think, or I've always wanted to know this about voice, or you said this in the interview, I'm curious. So you can, you know, thoughts about singing. I'm always free to, like, answer your questions, but I don't know.
Yeah, so reach out, and your website's great, because your website, I really like your website. It really shows, like, your energy and kind of gives a really strong sense of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Websites aren't always able to accomplish that, but yours really does, and I think it's really great. So if you're curious about Claire, what she does, how she does it, what that might be like, I do encourage you to go to her website, ClaireHostermanVoice.com, and check it out, because you will get a strong, visceral sense of who she is and what she's up to with these voice lessons. I love that you're making yourself available for email inquiries. That's really cool. And check out her Instagram. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I love you. I love you so much.
This has been so fun.
This is so much fun. I know. Now we're going to do, like, facials. It's going to be fun.
Well, we're going to turn off the
recorder now. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoyed the podcast, take a second and subscribe. It is so easy. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up at the bottom of the homepage, and you'll get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. Don't miss it. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that will save you thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, invest in a consultation session with me over phone or Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, whichever one you choose, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. I work with parents who want to help their child become a happy, successful actor, inside or outside of Hollywood, and I can help you. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.